This is Lineage, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Formosa Soniquis and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G and is Gen, featuring the relationship between Robin Buckley and Steve Harrington. With additional tags for Stobbin Month 2024, Banter, Fluff, Platonic Soulmates Robin Buckley and Steve Harrington. Robin Buckley and Steve Harrington share a brain cell. Family. Found family. Mention of lavender marriage. Bisexual Steve Harrington. What are middle names for? The question bubbles out of Steve as he takes in the picture of Michael J. Fox in Tiger Beat. It's the kind of question he thinks of a lot. The kind he'd normally bury in the back of his brain to ponder over on his own when sleep is a far-off concept. But Robin is different. They're so much a part of one another that Steve has stopped holding those questions in his own brain, realizing she likes to puzzle them out and tear them apart like he does. Only Robin's base of smarts is a little different. Sometimes these questions he has actually get real answers. He can feel Robin go still beneath him, his head on her shoulder, just like hers is on his. With anyone else, the position they'd found themselves in this afternoon would probably be uncomfortable. Sprawled out on his bed, technically back to back, Steve is using the bony knob of Robin's shoulder to raise his head just enough that he doesn't have to hold the magazine he's reading up in the air. Robin has taken the top of the bed. Her legs make an L where she has them stretched out against his bedroom wall, toes pointed toward the ceiling. Whatever book she's been reading is propped up against her thighs, too far to actually read without using the binoculars Dustin left behind last week. He flips another page in the magazine, content the way he always is with Robin, knowing that when she has finished puzzling out the order that she wants to respond to him in, that she'll speak. Steve thinks it's probably to tell the difference between people. There are so many in the world, eventually you're going to have two Tommy H's in a room and have to use that middle name. Tommy Allen. The thought of spending 2 years of junior high and 2.5 in high school calling Tommy that in public drags a little giggle from Steve. That would have made them losers of the highest order. Robin makes a noise that reminds Steve of Mrs. Johnson's cat whenever he'd feed it for her when she was out of town, inquiring, but also a little annoyed that you disturbed whatever it was doing before. He shimmies his arm just enough that she knows he'll explain it later. Once he figures out a good way to explain how much of being popular is being good at being perceived the right way. Tommy H's can be popular. Tommy Allen's get their slightly bucked teeth and bad laughs noticed. She isn't going to like that. But Steve learned pretty quickly, Robin doesn't like a lot of things about how popularity actually works. I think, Robin says slowly. She's talking a little funny, and Steve wonders now if she's let the binoculars rest against her chin instead of just putting them down like a normal person. He could turn and look, but figures all he'd actually see is the blurry, too close suggestion of Robin's face. It's better in his imagination. I think, she repeats. In his head, the binoculars wiggle down her chest a little further every time her mouth moves. It's to continue the family line. That used to be a big thing, you know. It's why men didn't want daughters, because then the family name would die out. So you'd give your kid a middle name to help continue one of the old names from the family that was just going to die if you didn't keep making your wife have more and more babies that she probably didn't even want. Oh, like Junior. Junior? Yeah, you know Junior. He was that football player that graduated 2 years ago. His ears stuck out weird, and he always seemed to have, like, a Rudolph zit on his nose. You mean Mark Williams? She shouts, incredulous. Sure, I think it was Mark. His dad was definitely Mr. Williams, but they had the same name, so whenever they went anywhere, he always called him Junior. Hey, Junior, would you get that for me? If you ever want to go pro, Junior, you're going to have to learn how to take a tackle. Robin is in fits beside him. The impression is terrible, but it's also exactly what the guy used to sound like. gruff, but also whistly somehow. Wait, wait. The bed shakes as she adjusts herself. He can feel the weird shape of her ear and the uncomfortable poke of her earrings in the cradle of his arm. What's your middle name?
You mean you didn't see it when you rifled through my employee file to find my birthday and social security number?
I was looking for important information.
So you could steal my identity.
So I could make fun of you less on your birthday if it was in the summer. Or maybe just take the whole day off so I didn't have to deal with the cavalcade of pretty blondes coming in to fawn over Steve Harrington. Real adult man.
Ew. The worst way anyone has ever described me. You make it sound like I'm some kind of pervert.
They would want you to be, Robin agrees. I think you would be part of the appeal.
Richard.
Theodore.
No, dingus.
He relishes the moment that he gets to turn her favorite pet name against her.
My middle name is Richard.
Robin takes that new information and digests it for at least 30 seconds. But that's just a guess, since she's laying on the arm that has his watch on it.
Stephen Richard Harrington, she tries out. The one and only.
It feels like there should be a number at the end. Stephen Richard Harrington VI, best of his line.
Maybe if he were a sixth, he'd like it a little better, he thinks. No, it's like what you said, continuing family names. Mom named me after her brother that died in the war. And Dad hated that, or him, or probably both, knowing him. So I got stuck with Richard so he could be included.
Robin Marie Buckley. Robin offers in exchange.
Ew.
I didn't ew yours, even though it makes you sound like a fancy little rich boy.
I am a fancy little rich boy, Steve says, flipping the front of his hair with a half-assed toss of his head. You're lying here in my ivory tower.
I think ivory towers have less blue plaid.
I like the blue plaid. It makes hanging things up easy. I'm sorry we can't all have this season's Laura Ashley.
Robin is, unfortunately, at the perfect angle to punch him directly in the chest.
My parents did that to surprise me when I came back from band camp 2 years ago, so I could have a more mature room as a high schooler. For all that it's worth, he tries not to sound mean when he snorts. The Buckleys are nice and mostly well-meaning, or at least they have been every time he's visited. And they somehow missed the dresser covered in spiky bracelets and the closet full of grandpa suspenders while they were in there.
They mean well, Robin unintentionally echoes Steve's own earlier thoughts. They just don't really get me. Her voice trails off, a little lost, and he hates himself for being the person who made Robin feel like that.
We should change our names.
What, and go on the lamb? Robin asks.
We can, but I don't think any lamb, sheep, or goats need to be involved.
Steve sits up in bed, forcing Robin to do the same as he pulls his arm out from under her head. It only takes a quick spin before he's facing her, grabs her arm so she can't pull away from how totally and completely serious he's being.
It's like you said, it's about family, right?
He says.
You're more family to me than my douchebag dad has ever been, so why do I have to be stuck with his name when I could be Stephen Robert?
Not Robin?
Don't want to make it too obvious, and Robin Stephen probably wouldn't fly at the name-changing place.
Robin Stephanie, she tries slowly.
I mean, obviously, if I were a girl, I'd go by Stevie. He jokes.
We can't just change our names, Robin says. She doesn't sound like she believes it, though, so Steve is pretty sure he's winning.
Why can't we? People do it all the time. I bet it's super easy.
When they get married? Or, like, adopted? People don't just change their names on a Tuesday because they feel like it.
He tries to give that the thought it deserves, But he mostly just feels like Robin is making excuses because she's scared. Maybe it's the leftover fear from Starcourt bubbling out in a place where she can control. Or maybe she just likes her parents enough to be scared of hurting their feelings. One of those things he can relate to more than the other. Well, Thursday would work better for my schedule.
Steve!
What? So we get married then, is that the problem? I mean, I know I'm not your first choice romantically, but didn't you say people do that so they're safe from people knowing they're gay?
Her arms are already out, ready to make a point that would probably be big and dramatic and a little long-winded the way Robin likes to be when she's all worked up like this. But he's stopped her in her tracks. Face to face, he can watch as the outrage melts into something sticky and wet, like melted ice cream.
You do that for me?
I would pretty much do everything, including die for you. Getting to be Stephen Robert Buckley would really be more like you doing me a favor.
He's getting pulled into a crushing hug before he can blink. He doesn't mention how he can feel the wet fall of her crying against his neck. If it didn't embarrass her, it might stop Robin from doing her best to climb inside him like she's Luke and he's that weird ice kangaroo. Mascara stains on the neck of his shirt are a small price to pay for a Robin Buckley embrace. They hold each other for as long as it takes for Robin to feel regular again. And it's nice. Steve thinks they'll have to have a different conversation about how rarely he gets hugged just for the sake of it later. Right now, this is about family and names. And because Robin is family in every way that matters, he doesn't say anything when she wipes away those tears and a little snot with the back of her hand. "You'll have to wait until March," she says. "I'm not getting married until I'm at least 18. I don't want people thinking it's some shotgun thing after working with you this summer."
"As long as it's before you get your dorm assignment for whatever fancy school you get into. If we're married, I'm pretty sure they have to let us live together."
"Yeah? Even if I go somewhere like Bryn Mawr?"
He pretends like he's giving that careful consideration, like he doesn't already know she really wants to go to some big city where the schools might have a language program and she has a better chance of finding other people more like her.
"Well, I guess we could live off campus then, if you really want to go to the lesbian school for lesbians."
She punches him again.
"It is not.
I wouldn't want the other lesbians to bully you for being married to a really hot guy."
"One, I never said yes, dingus. Two, I have a whiteboard that questions how hot you are, hotshot."
"Pretty sure that got burned in the fire, so you can't use that as proof anymore. You're gonna need more dates."
"Data. You need to try to land dates."
"Same difference."
She pushes him until he's laying down, grabs her book from his pillow, and he takes that as his cue to go back to his magazine. It takes her a minute to decide how she wants to lay down again. He's already back on his page about this month's Hollywood heartthrobs before she's decided that his chest makes the best pillow and his arm can prop her book up for her. He isn't sure what it is today. He wonders if she's close enough to the beginning that he can get her to read it out loud to him. This month's Tiger Beat really is lacking.
"Why does anyone think these guys are hot? The guys in Rolling Stone are usually better looking than Alex P. Keaton or the guy from Growing Pains. Johnny Depp is kinda okay, I guess."
"Stephen Robert!"
Robin sits upright again. And Steve thinks he might have accidentally started another capital C conversation.
The end.